The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome in to the Touchdown City Show, presented by our friends at the Masters Law Firm and at Parmar. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio today with Derek Bailey, Michael Sussman, the GOAT. He took a vacation day today.
That's terrible. How's he get a vacation day? What do I do to earn vacation around
Well,
here?
He's got four kids and a family, and we're going a little early today, so you know, give him a day off because there was no game this weekend. But wanted to kind of talk to you guys a little bit. We've had a week. West Virginia's sitting at 4-1. We've had a week to reflect about how we got to 4-1 and what we've seen over the last five games. And wanted to just check in with you guys, check your temperature. What do you guys think about West Virginia football right now? Where we're sitting after you've had another week removed from the win at TCU.
I mean, I'm thrilled to be 4-1. I'm absolutely ecstatic because, like, I picked West Virginia 5-7. They're proving me wrong. That's fantastic. I'm happy about that.
You big mouth.
I did a terrible job picking, obviously, and that's fine. But I'm glad they're proving me wrong. But I still see issues that concern me moving forward because, like, the schedule's setting up for us, and I don't want to blow a game to a team that should not beat us, and I don't feel like there's anybody left on this schedule with the exception of at Oklahoma that's a clear-cut, like, team that should be able to beat WVU. So the issues that I see, while I'm happy to be 4-1, I'm still cautiously optimistic with the 4-1.
I'm happy to be playing meaningful football in the second half of the season. That's really exciting. I'm tired of midget league passing numbers. You got to find a way to get that part of the game going. But thrilled with the defense as well. It's a lukewarm product, but 4-1's 4-1. We got a chance.
There's no such thing as an ugly win, though. I will say that as well. So the four wins are great, even though they're technically called, quote, ugly. But I will be more than happy to take, you know, 7-8 more ugly wins.
Michael, I think you hit it there when you said that we're playing meaningful football going into October. And you're right, because usually at this point we're looking at the schedule saying, where can we get three more wins to go to a bowl? And now, you know, I think a bowl is going to happen for West Virginia. Now, unless there's some monumental collapse, which could possibly happen the way the coaching goes around this country. And I'm not just slinging that at Neil Brown.
It's everybody.
We'll get into some of that later. But unless there's like a huge collapse up there, West Virginia is going to be in a bowl. But again, I'll echo what Derek says. They are in position to play in a solid bowl game. They're in a position to go to the Big 12 championship.
The thing is like, even if they don't make the Big 12 championship game, whatever, they're still playing for a very good bowl game, which would be a huge, huge win for Neil Brown and his team in the fifth year because nobody was expecting anything out of them. And if they can get to, say, like a Liberty Bowl, or even a better bowl than that. I'm not sure what the tie-ins are. Now, they've messed all those up so much. I don't even know what they are anymore.
Camping bowl.
But if you can get to a good bowl game, it is a huge win for your program and a great season. I mean, I was expecting 5-7. I would say most people were probably expecting between 7-5 and 5-7. But if you can end up at 9-3 and in a good bowl game, that's huge progress.
And that's what Neil needs, a signature victory. I mean, obviously, I'd love it if we could go to Dallas for the Big 12 championship. Still a long way to go there, but that would be his opportunity, his chance to do something that is not arguable. At this point, you can still look at the teams he's beaten and say, well, they're having an average year, they're not that great. He needs to find a way down the stretch of this year to get to a bowl game like that and win, or the championship.
Just get to the bowl game. Just getting to the bowl game, in my opinion, would be huge. I don't think they'll win the bowl game. I mean, I'm already being negative about that. But at the same time,
at the same time, though,
what's the best thing he's done so far? He's won the Liberty Bowl, and that was against Army. That's probably the best thing he's done. And if you can just get back to that point, it's a great season for you when nobody was expecting anything out of you.
What have been some surprises or highlights for you guys this year, so far this season?
I've been very pleased with the defensive performance. After the first game and the first half of Duquesne, I feel like they've settled in. They've made some plays. They've been in positions to make plays. They've kind of kept West Virginia afloat in a lot of games. They shut TCU out in the second half, held Pitt to 6 points, made some plays against Pitt. And then the other thing I'm going to say is Donaldson hasn't ran for 100 yards in a game yet, and you're 4-1. We all thought Donaldson would probably be the focal point of the offense, which he is, but he hasn't like shown what he can really do, and you're still 4-1. So, I mean, even with that technically negative, you're still winning games, and your best offensive player hasn't really broke out yet.
I've really liked the emergence of Beanie Bishop the last 3 weeks, especially in clutch situations down the stretch. And then Oliver Straw, his placement on the punt team has been perfect. Averaged 46 and 47 yards per punt over the last couple of contests. And if we're going to play field position, that becomes a very important piece.
The surprising part for me has been the offense and the defense have switched roles for me. I didn't think the defense would be very good. I've not been much of a believer in Jordan Leslie. And this defense has been really good. Sean Martin, the linebacking core, the front seven, even the defensive backs after lightning strikes against Duquesne, they've cleaned all that up. You've only had one or two little snafus here and there, which, you know, listen, other teams make plays, so that's that. But then the offensive side of the ball I thought would be much better, but the defense is keeping you in it. So that's how you get to 4-1. I mean, you play defense and you run the football. How many years have we screamed that?
That's what they're doing.
And that's what they're doing. So after a week of evaluation, it's hard to complain about it. Things to improve, probably the sideline coaching, because you can't get into a situation where something silly happens, like you don't call cause the other team to call your timeouts, or just something silly that could cause you a loss. They've got a lot of opportunity left, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens over the next few weeks.
Well, to me, things they can improve on is the defense has to, when the play is presented, they have to make it. And I mean, catch the interceptions. You've dropped several interceptions all year long. It gives your offense a short field. So just start making plays when they're out there for you.
Devin Carter needs to get featured more. He needs to win one-on-one more frequently. And then a guy that we haven't seen much, E.J. Horton from Marshall. He's got the speed. Hopefully they can connect with him on a deep one.
All right. When we come back from the break, Derek has been hard at work putting together some statistics. We're going to talk a little bit about the tenure of Neil Brown, not just this season, but the overall tenure and the performance. And we'll do all that after this here on the Touchdown City Show.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Green 18! Green 18, not touch!
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show. Hey, we got a couple of quick announcements before we get into some statistics that Derek has put together. Upcoming events here in the Charleston area, and you guys can feel free to drive in from anywhere in the part of this great in from anywhere in the state of West Virginia. I'll spit that out. Guys' Night Out, October 28th, for the YWCA. That'll be the weekend that West Virginia plays at Central Florida. That's ywcacharleston.org. And that event is a fundraiser for the YWCA Sojourners Sheltered for Abused and Battered Women and Children. And also on the weekend that West Virginia plays at Oklahoma, which is November the 11th, I believe, the Sugar Bowl Foundation will be hosting their annual event, or our annual event, because I run that organization. And that'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings at Nitro Marketplace. And then Owen Schmidt will be our special guest this year. And that event helps us sponsor Kids at Christmas. We sponsored about 50 kids from the YMCA Cross Lanes and the Davis Child Shelter. So you can check that out at sugarbowlfoundation.org. All right, Derek's got some stats. He was spitting it out last week for us. What do you got for it?
Okay, this is why I would say some people in the fan base are not overly excited about a 4-1 start. When you take the whole Neil Brown era into effect here, this is what we have. We have an overall record of 26-26. Five of those wins: James Madison, LIU Brooklyn, Eastern Kentucky, Duquesne, and Towson. In his whole tenure so far, West Virginia has actually been outscored 1,344 to 1,339. They average 25.75 points per game. They give up 25.85 points per game. If you take out LIU 66, Duquesne 56, Towson 65, and Eastern Kentucky 56, West Virginia averages 22.83 points per game. If you take out the five FCS teams, which is LIU, Towson, James Madison, Duquesne, and Eastern Kentucky, they give up 27.6 points per game. They've beaten five teams to date, and I'm counting this year, with a winning record. They have beaten five teams, and of the teams they've beaten, their combined record are 95 and 133. These do not include James Madison, Eastern Kentucky, Duquesne, Towson, and LIU Brooklyn. 17 times they've scored 30 points in 52 games. If you remove the four LIU, Duquesne, Towson, and Eastern Kentucky, they've done it 13 times. This is why people are probably cautiously optimistic, or even still just kind of angered, or whatever you want to call it, just not excited at all about the direction of the program, even though West Virginia is 4-1.
So you're saying in 5 years, Neil Brown's beaten five teams with a winning record. One of them was Army. They were 9-3, I believe.
Army was 9-3. That is the best team, like the best record of a team that West Virginia's defeated in 5 years so far of Neil Brown's tenure.
That was all Darius Stills also. He single-handedly won that football game.
And it took a last-second touchdown to win that game, if everybody recalls. I believe it was Kendall that threw a touchdown in the corner to win the game, like 27-24 or something.
Neil Brown's a better PR specialist than head football coach, because you make all those great points. He only has a 500 record. But after he beats a team like TCU, he parades around like he flipped the program, like it already happened. He literally said, "I don't want to see anybody on social media saying they picked us. They didn't." Why are you even on social media?
That's the thing. If any coach in the country is listening to any fan, they've got issues anyway. But it's just, this is why I'm not overly excited. I see tons of issues still. The receivers still drop balls. There's still questionable decisions made. There's still points left on the football field. Sometimes, and I know they've been very good this year, and we've even talked about how good the defense has been. There's still busted coverages from time to time, which that's going to happen. I mean, I get that. You're not going to win every game 105-0 like fans want you to. But there's just so much to be concerned about still, even with the 4-1 record. And those stats back that up. That is factual data that I pulled from Neil Brown's Wikipedia page, actually. You know, I brought it up on my phone.
Did you update his page?
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't have that time. But I just wanted to look, because I was curious as to what, like, it was. We did this last year, and I just wanted to look at it even more, because he's even has five new games of data, and it's still not good.
You take out the FBS schools.
No,
FCS schools. And basically, they put up about 22 points a game.
Yeah, that's,
which is concerning. That's why I was so concerned when he was thumping his chest going, "Well, I'm going to have to go back to what I do best, and I'm going to call the plays." I thought, oh boy, here we go.
This is concerning, the 22.83 points per game, because we currently have an offensive coordinator in Iowa City that is a son of Kirk Ferentz. It's Brian Ferentz. His contract reads, if they don't average 25 points a game this year, he's going to be fired. 25 points per game, and West Virginia is not averaging that if you take out those four teams. Those four, and those were 56 plus points in those games. I mean, and you should do that to those teams.
One thing that I wonder is down the line. So obviously it's a cupcake schedule the rest of the way. Earlier on in the Neil Brown tenure, he got a contract extension with, I think, a losing record at the time. It was either a losing record or at 500. How does the university view a 9-win season, 10-win season when you play the teams down the line on the slate?
That's another thing. I don't even know what to expect or what to do if I'm in the university's shoes, because to me, 26-26 is not good enough for WVU. I have higher expectations than that. I mean, that's why I'm not paid millions of dollars to make these decisions. So that's completely up to the university. Well, but I mean, well,
clearly the person that made that decision is no longer with us. He is currently the assistant athletic director at the University of Alabama. He was fired. And I think it also comes down to one of the glaring issues at that university right now. It starts at the very top, and that's Gordon Gee. And we can get into a whole episode about that. But not only athletically is West Virginia doing some crazy things, but on the other side, that guy can't even manage his own checkbook. But that's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, I think what it comes down to is the fact that, you know, Shane Lyons extended him. And they reward – if you're going to extend somebody, I get the extension sometimes, but I don't understand the buyout, upping the buyouts and upping the pay. Extend them at the same amount of buyouts so it doesn't hurt you, but, you know, you can't do it that way. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about West Virginia players in the NFL. We'll do all that after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salango. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salango Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salangolaw.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Don't forget, later in the show, we'll have the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. That's the phone number for that is 304-9696-TDC. And the winner of the trivia question gets a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. And don't forget, coming up in the next segment, we're going to hear from 1993's Rashawn Vanderpool. We'll be talking about the undefeated season of 93. And celebrating the 30th anniversary of that great accomplishment. No game this week, but I thought what we would do is kind of look at the guys from the West Virginia Mountaineer alumni roster that are currently playing in the NFL. West Virginia has 14 Mountaineers in the NFL. Some are on practice squads and some are active. But first, I don't know how much NFL you guys watch.
Not a whole lot.
Pretty often.
I watch it, but I don't watch closely.
But David Long Jr. currently with the Miami Dolphins, 27 tackles, one sack. Where he was with Tennessee,
I didn't even know he went to the Dolphins. That's how little I knew about him. he was a one man wrecking crew at WVU. That dude was awesome, and he's good in the pros.
Yeah, I was a little bummed when he left a year early, but completely understood the fact that he was going to go and make that money for a few years. I would have loved to have had him back at West Virginia, but you know, he's doing a great job for the Dolphins.
Yeah, one man wrecking crew is right. He had to play on that Dana Holgorsen defense. But he's the perfect piece for the modern game because he can come up and defend the run. He's quick enough to defend the pass. They move him around and do a lot, and he was a stud in Tennessee, too.
That's a good Dolphins team, too, that he starts for. That's a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Rasul Douglas with the Green Bay Packers has 16 tackles, one interception, four pass deflections. You talk about a guy. I mean, he was out of football.
he had an outstanding year. I think it was last year is when he got signed, and he has seized the opportunity that he received because he has played his butt off for Green Bay. He's a really good player for an NFL corner. I mean, you know, four pass deflections and interception early. I think last year it felt like he had five or six interceptions last year. It's a pretty solid career he's got started.
Yeah, no Rodgers, but you got Rasul. He's backing up Jordan Love on that defense. Good to see.
You know, and that just goes to show sometimes, guys, it's not about their ability. It's about fit, the culture, the team, where they kind of and where they have space to do what they need to do. You just never know where they're going to pop up at.
I think there's a ton of guys that can play, but you have to go to the right coach that knows how to use you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, we can look at a guy like Tavon Austin, who's never been used correctly.
No, and he's back with Seattle.
Did he sign?
I'm pretty sure Seattle signed him back.
I knew he was out there for a tryout, but didn't know he signed. Kaiser White, you know, he's got 37 tackles on the season, and obviously a sack, and I believe had the game, was it the game-winning interception against the Cowboy Girls? Was that him?
I think that was him. I think it was. Is it Arizona?
Yeah, he's with Arizona.
Dak threw it into triple coverage. Yeah. If it wasn't him, it was going to be the other two guys. Yeah.
Dak being Dak.
We still them boys.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's every week. Every weekend, I'm like sending that meme out to people. But, you know, obviously he came in. Well, he was a year or two guy in West Virginia.
Yeah, he wasn't there very long. Yep.
But having a great NFL career. He's obviously a talented family. You know, his brothers were in camps or on rosters at one point. So good for him. And how about our guy Dante Stills? He's currently with the Arizona Cardinals, is a rookie, already has four tackles, but he's getting a lot of playing time as a rookie.
Yeah, that's a big thing for a rookie defensive lineman. Usually there's something, I mean, the guys that are drafted in the first, second round, yeah, they get on the field early. But, you know, the guys that sign free agent get drafted in the later rounds, usually they have to work their way up. He's moved up quickly. Good for him. That's fantastic. I mean, you can say what you want about Arizona, but I don't think anybody expected them to win like two games, and I think they've already won two games.
Yeah, that's great to see. And I'm not surprised to see him chipping away. I mean, that's our all-time leading tackler, making an impact. And he plays hard. He goes 100% every snap.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the comeback player of the year last year, Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks. He's 3-1, got a 68.8 quarterback rating, thrown five touchdowns this year. Geno doing his thing.
Geno's an interesting story too. Wasn't he with the Giants?
He's been with the Giants and the Chargers and Jets.
I know he's with the Jets. I think they said the other night on TV when he was on Monday Night Football against the Giants. I think if he beat the Giants, he's beat all the teams that like, released him. That's what they said.
It's a surprise for everybody that hadn't seen Geno play a lot. Absolute stud. It's good to see him get his opportunity.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from 1993's Rashawn Vanderpool. We'll do all that after this.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
Tired of sorting through those piles of paper statements? Summit Community Bank has the solution. With our easy-to-use 24/7 online banking, you can access e-statements anytime, anywhere. Say goodbye to cluttered mailboxes and hello to a more organized and secure banking experience. And the best part? It's completely free. So switch today by visiting mysummit.bank. Summit Community Bank, proud to provide you with service beyond expectations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Text the guys, questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show, and don't forget, You can go and find us on your favorite podcast platform over at touchdowncity.com, and you'll be able to hear the full interview that I'm about to conduct with everybody. But again, thanks for checking us out this week here on the Touchdown City Show and joining me to walk down memory lane and talk a little bit about the 1993 undefeated regular season, Rashawn Vanderpool. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, and it's a pleasure to be on the podcast, and thank you for having me.
Yes, we started heading down that road talking about we cannot believe it's been 30 years since the as they called it, the Mountaineer Magic, the undefeated regular season of 1993. Whenever you hear that, what kind of goes through your mind?
Well, to be honest, what goes through my mind is a lot of people don't know this, but I almost missed that season due to I was on the brink of transferring out that year. Long story short, when I first originally signed with West Virginia, I looked at all the teams that were recruiting me, and I saw West Virginia, their receiving corp at the time, and I initially signed was Leighton Heavy with seniors. And at the time, Baker, my true freshman year, Baker was a senior. And I don't know if you guys remember, but in 92, he broke his foot and he had got a medical red shirt. So I was looking to play more than I originally started playing at the beginning of the season. And once I didn't get the time that I thought I should have had, because that's why I went there, was to start and play more, I went and talked to Coach Nealon, and I was about a week or two away from transferring to Maryland. But after talking to Coach Nealon and the receiver coach, Doc Holliday, at the time, that next week I actually started getting some playing time. So I decided to stay, and I'm grateful that I did stay to, you know, be a part of that undefeated season.
And did, now, just to, because everything's so different now, did you redshirt 92?
Yes, I redshirted my true freshman year.
Okay.
So when I first got there, I don't know if a lot of fans remember Damian Gallimore. It was between me and Damian Gallimore not to be redshirted, and he had beat me out that year to do kickoff returns. He did primarily kickoff returns and punt returns. And so I had redshirted my first year.
So you had an opportunity to see the 1992 team, and Coach Nealon has referenced that team as he thought the 92 team probably was a little bit more talented than the 93 team, but just didn't get the breaks and didn't have the luck that the 93 team had.
And I would definitely agree with that, because I remember when we had James Jett at receiver. I remember Mr. Hawaiian Punch, we called him Hawaiian Punch Morrell.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the work ethic they had during practices. It was an eye opener for me my freshman year coming from high school and seeing the difference, because, you know, there's always a jump in talent and work ethic from, you know, junior high to high school, then high school to college, and then college to the NFL. But that team definitely showed me and a lot of my classmates that came in what it really meant and what it really was going to take for us to be good and great football players in the college level.
One of the things that you had started talking to me about earlier was at going into the season, you felt like you guys were talented, but you just didn't know what to measure up and you didn't really know what to expect with 93 and 88. I don't even know if you realize or know the story, but you know, Beano Cook comes down from Pittsburgh and predicts West Virginia will play for the national championship. So the expectations were there, but the 93 team kind of snuck up on everybody.
Yeah, it did. Like I was telling you earlier, we knew we were talented because we practiced against each other for the whole spring camp, training camp, fall camp. And if you remember, we had got the transfer Kelchner in. And mm-hmm. him and Stud were battling, so we didn't even know what that position was going to be like. We didn't know who was going to start there. And then, you know, Robert Walker, that was his first year starting, so we didn't know what the running game was going to be like. But eventually, it turned out to be something quite amazing as the season went along and we started gaining steam. It's funny because being a true freshman and then going into your next redshirt year, at a college level, you don't realize how much camaraderie and how much being together as a team and spending all that time with each other builds a brotherhood. And it actually, you know, forms that battle, that mentality of we're all going into battle together, whether it's the offense and defense. You know, during practices, it was a battle with offense and defense. But once the game started, and I remember going through the season, it's like if we needed the defense to step up, we knew they would step up. If we needed the offense to step up, the defense knew that the offense was going to step up and make the play.
And speaking of camaraderie and brotherhood, just talk a little bit about that wide receiver room. I was looking at the roster, you know, not only yourself, but, you know, Ed Hill, Jay Kearney. There's a laundry list of names that were in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, and it's funny because with those seniors at the time, Ed Hill, Kearney, and Baker, as they used to call us, the young pups. I mean, those guys opened up their doors, their houses, their hearts, their minds to us, and you know, they just guided us in the right direction. Anything we needed or any thing as far as football wise, what we thought and what they thought, they were there for us. And I feel like at the beginning of the season, they knew how rough of a season, a full season, a football season is, and they knew they would have to count on and rely on us for something throughout the season. And they just wanted to make sure, along with the coaches, that we were prepared to go into battle with them.
And, of course, when you talk 1993, West Virginia, people automatically bring up the Miami Hurricanes. What do you remember about that week? I mean, it was a big-time game. It was on CBS. Brent Musburger was in the house. And obviously, it still stands as a record, 70,000 people in Mountain Air Field. What do you remember about the buzz and the practices and going into the game with the Hurricanes?
That week of practice, I think that was the toughest week of practice, and not physically, but mentally, staying prepared, staying focused because of everything that was going on within the campus and the buzz. And just, you know, by that time, everybody on ESPN was starting to talk about West Virginia, and we just remember that everybody was still doubting us, and we knew going into that week that we had to make a statement. We just knew we had to win that game to keep it rolling. And I remember walking out onto the field with 70,000 people, and it was the greatest thing I've seen in my life. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to go to West Virginia, is because all the colleges that would recruit me, like Boston College, Michigan, Florida State, all those schools, they all have professional teams within that state or around the campus. West Virginia has no professional team in the state of West Virginia at the time. So the fan base is what won me over. I actually went on my recruit trip to West Virginia during winter break, so nobody was even on campus. It was just me, Canute Curtis, and the coaches. And on the way back, me and Canute both decided to commit to West Virginia on the flight back to New York. And it turned out to be exactly what we expected when we went into that Miami game. It was nothing like walking into that stadium and seeing 70,000 people jammed in there, cheering and rooting for you.
You know, they say there were 70,000 people, but there's 150,000 people that claim that they were there that day.
That is true. That is true.
I just remember it being a super cold day, freezing cold. And of course, the tale is that the Hurricanes' warming benches, mistakenly the order got lost whenever they called into West Virginia to try to order the warming benches. So obviously everyone was playing along and fired up for the Hurricanes that day.
Yeah, everybody was. And I just remember, you know, I just remember the game being a battle. I believe we were up 3-0 at halftime, and I believe we were inside the 10 or 5 like two times and came away with a field goal. So we were up 3-0 at halftime, and then in the second half, I believe they took the lead. And ultimately, we came back and won. And to be honest, the only thing I remember about that is my reverse late in the fourth quarter to seal the game. And I just remember Coach Nealon and Doc Holliday, you know, giving me the play. And like, look, don't fumble. That's all they kept saying. Don't fumble. We just need a first down, and we win this game. And I remember I got the first down but ran out of balance. And if anybody knows Doc Holliday, he's really a spirited man.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran back to the sideline happy, and he looked at me, grabbed my face mask, and said, and my nickname at the time, they called me Tubby. He was like, Tubby, stop running out of bounds.
Yeah, you keep that clock rolling.
Yeah, and you know, and I was young, so I didn't realize that at the time. But I mean, that still sticks with me to this day. Out of everything in the season, I just remember that reverse I had to seal the win to be the first team in the Big East to beat Miami actually that year.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of course the play that stands out, and when you watch the Mountaineer highlights, and you know, is obviously Robert Walker's run around the side. And I've even interviewed Doc Holliday years ago, 20 years ago, about it. And they drew it up, and they talked about how the linebacker took the wrong, you know, the whole deal. But what do you remember about that play? And I just remember the stadium went bonkers after he ran it in.
I think what I remember about that play, now that it's 30 years later, I just remember, because we were down at the time, so I remember just thinking, like, something has to happen. Like, we've been through all these games, and I just knew that the man upstairs was on our side. He was not going to let us down. And when Robert broke, I mean, because by that time, it was getting late in the game, and, you know, we were probably losing a little spirit, but at the end of the day, we all knew something was going to happen to break it out in our way. And when he hit that corner, and he just took it. It was like a dream come true, to be honest, because we knew we were still alive. And I believe, we had one more game, Boston College, left after that. And we just knew a title game was in our sights.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling with the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master Tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Great to hear from WVU great Rashawn Vanderpool, reliving the 1993 undefeated season. And now, it's time for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Text this number, 304-9696-TDC or 304-969-6832. The winner will get a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. Congratulations to our winner last week, Justin Atkins. He answered the question, what number did Chuck Howley wear at West Virginia, which was number 66. So this week's question is, what is West Virginia's all-time record in football against Houston? What is WVU's all-time record against Houston in football? Again, 304-969-6-TDC. All right, Michael, what are the headlines?
We'll start in the Big 12. I know we've retired Mike Gundy already on this show, but his Cowboys upset K-State 29-21.
Yeah, that was a Friday night game, and I'm one of those that retired Gundy early because they have looked awful all year long. You lose 33-7 or something to South Alabama. You go to Iowa State and you lose. They just have not looked good Friday night for whatever reason. I'll tell you what, I think he might have found the quarterback. He put Bowman in. Bowman's a Texas Tech from Michigan to Oklahoma State transfer. He might have found a quarterback that can actually do what he wants to do, and he looked okay in that ball game. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on in the Big 12. It's just chaos, and, you know, Oklahoma State, you look at them now moving forward. They may be a formidable opponent. It may have been a fluke. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, now you got to look at them. We play them in 2 weeks, and it's like, oh, boy, they're getting it together right in time to play West Virginia. That's our luck, but that was a big win for the Cowboys. I was shocked to see them get that win on the road.
Chaos in Red River as well. Oklahoma taking it 34-30 over Texas.
This is my favorite, one of my favorite games every year because this game always features crazy craziness. First quarter, first pass, Ewers is, well, it wasn't first pass, but it was first series. Ewers is picked off. Oklahoma goes right in and scores. Texas drives down the field. Ewers is picked off again. They stop Oklahoma, block a punt, touchdown. From there on, the craziness ensues. I mean, congratulations to Oklahoma because I thought Venables may not even make it 2 years at Oklahoma the way they looked last year. And here they are. They are in the driver's seat right now to be in the Big 12 title game because they don't have anybody left on the schedule that I think can beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're going to get in that game. It's always one of the crazier games. But I was shocked to see Texas lose that game because all the experts, with my air quotes, said that that Texas would be in the Final Four this year. And they, to me, I always think Texas is going to be Texas and choke, and they did. And but, you know, the experts said they were going to be possibly playing for a national championship. So it's now the Sooners' game. They're in the driver's seat, and they could end up in the Final Four.
The Jayhawks run wild, 51-22. They take it over Central Florida. How about 399 rushing yards?
Yeah, that was not much of a contest for Kansas. That game was over early. It was over quickly. Congratulations to Kansas. I mean, even with the loss to Texas, they're so much better than they have been lately. Lance Leipold's really doing a great job out there. I really like him. They're well coached. But the newcomers now, I believe, are 1-8, and the only victory they have is BYU beat Cincinnati. So they're finding it tough sledding right now in a power conference.
Yeah, two guys on the ground yesterday went over 100 yards. It was Neal, 154 yards, and Henshaw Jr. with 134. No Jalen Daniels. That's been my guy. I've been on the Kansas train for about a year. I said they were going to play in the Big 12 championship. If they can continue to win without him and get Daniels back and then continue to win, it could be Oklahoma-Kansas in the championship game.
I really like their backup, Bean, too, though. Really like him.
He's done a great job.
Last Big 12 score here, Iowa State knocks off TCU 27-14. Rocco Becht with another victory and threw for a touchdown.
I don't know what to make of TCU. I don't know if TCU – I mean, they're 3-3. They're in a complete rebuild, I guess. I don't know. And Iowa State, they're the same type team because sometimes Iowa State comes out there and they look really good. Sometimes they come out there and they look really poor. It's just a bunch of Jekyll and Hyde teams in the Big 12. I didn't even get to watch this game. I think I might have been on ESPN Plus. I didn't turn it on, so I can't really comment a lot on it. But it's just the way those teams play. They're both kind of Jekyll and Hyde.
Wasn't on that crappy Pac-12 conference channel that we
couldn't
watch Colorado.
Can't watch Colorado.
That's why I don't even have them on the list. I don't even care if they won or lost. But good for Rocco. Of course, obviously, I have a great relationship with Anthony, and Anthony is one of Avon's former teammates. And I was hoping that maybe Rocco would come to West Virginia. He was a great quarterback in the state of Florida, but ended up at Iowa State. Probably a good fit for him, but congratulations to him and his family. He's doing his thing there at Iowa State.
It was a glorious night. Notre Dame loses 33-20 against Louisville.
Yes.
What'd you see in that one?
Here's where I get into program expectations. Louisville's in a first year with Brohm. This dude is getting it done. They're 6-0. No one probably expected them to be 6-0. They hammered Notre Dame last night. They were prepared. They rattled Hartman, turned him over, sacked him, you know, and poor old Notre Dame. I shouldn't even say poor old Notre Dame.
Poor
because
old.
It's Notre Dame. I mean, you know, your arrogance is in the way of everything for the most part for your program. That's why everybody roots against you. Until you win something of significance, please just be quiet from now on. No one wants to hear your back because you lost to Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame drops one, and I celebrate. Can't stand those guys. And, you know, what was kind of interesting was they had like what a 30 game win streak against the ACC, and that's been snapped.
30 games in a row against the ACC.
Georgia Tech knocks off Miami 23-20. Mario Cristobal with a Neil Brown-like late decision in the coaching department, except there's consequences for this one. His team loses the game.
Here is where I say, don't tell me that the coaches are that much smarter than the fans in situations, because this is a situation where every single person in America that's watched football for as many years as most people have knows that all you need to do is take a knee. There's 3rd and 10 or something like that, 38 seconds left. Play clock's 40 seconds. All he's got to do is snap this ball, take a knee, game's over. He hands it off. Dude gets stripped, fumbles. They give up a four-play 74-yard drive for a touchdown and lose. If I'm a Miami fan, I am calling for his head right now. He makes several million dollars a year, and every single person watching that game knew. Even the announcer said to take a knee, and the game was over. Everybody knew. I don't know what he was thinking.
I mean, again, stupid play calling in coaching from all parts of the country, you know, and again, I'll agree with you. He would have a for sale sign in his yard today.
That's like calling a timeout to punt.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't believe it happened, and whatever happened to him. And here's the thing. That's the type of stupidity that causes your season to spiral out of control.
They're at North Carolina Saturday night. Like, they could lose twice because of the Georgia Tech game.
Yeah.
Time for da-da-da-da-da, Rich Watch, Jacksonville State.
We need a stinger.
Yeah, we'll get a bumper. 45-30 over Middle Tennessee State in comeback fashion.
38 points in the row in the second half. I fell asleep in the third quarter. They had taken a 24-23 lead and scored 17 unanswered, and I woke up and it was 45-30. You know, congratulations to Jacksonville State. Congratulations to Rich Rodriguez. They're 5-1 in their first year, the FBS. That's fantastic. They play this week on Tuesday night against Liberty. He's got it going down there. He may be starting to get some rumored for a bigger job. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But congratulations to Jacksonville State and Rich Rodriguez.
Obviously, I only watch because of Xavier Bosley. But he was out the other night with a concussion. But I thought it was interesting. I kept saying, man, because Middle Tennessee could have scored again and made it 31-7. And I thought that might be too much and they held him. And I thought, they got a shot here.
Guy dropped that touchdown.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest play of the game.
And you can't leave the door open for Rich. So congratulations, Jacksonville State.
Back to you for predictions.
All right, guys. West Virginia takes on Houston this week, and we'll have to zip through this a little bit. Houston is, or Dana is 27-20, and he's listed 5th on the hot seat for coaches. What do you guys think about this? Avon has West Virginia winning.
Yeah, I also have West Virginia winning this game. I think West Virginia will win. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout for Neil Brown standards. I think they'll win the game about 33-24. I think Houston's the worst team in the conference. I'll also make the statement that I think Dana Holgorsen is fired Friday.
Very well could be. I think for that reason, he empties the playbook and comes out with a few things for West Virginia early on. I think the Cougars are up 14-0 early, and then the defense turns it on and you pull away. Mountaineers 38-21.
I like West Virginia this week. Again, Houston's one of the worst defenses in the conference and the country. Dana will probably shoot himself in the foot in some form or fashion. West Virginia just has to pull him into the mud and play their game. They can't allow Houston to come out and jump up on them 17-7 or something like that.
I can't wait to see who goes for more fourth downs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. But, you know, I'll be curious to see how Neil plays this one. Obviously, I think they're just going to do what they do. I think they're going to try to play defense and run the football. West Virginia should have success doing that, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'll be curious to see how many times Dana slings his headsets. What's the over-under on that?
7.
It's going over.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to the Touchdown City show this week. Check everything out at touchdowncity.com. We'll see you next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.